Good morning. Certainly good to see everyone. Welcome to our visitors. Welcome to our members. It is good to be together. I'd ask you to be turning in your New Testament to Luke's Gospel. Let's stop at Luke chapter 9. We'll focus on one passage from Luke chapter 9 as the theme and the focus of our lesson here this morning. And as you're turning to Luke chapter 9, let me continue to extend a warm welcome to everyone who has gathered here. We do appreciate our visitors. It's good to have new faces among us and some familiar faces back as well. So thank you for being here. It's an encouragement to us. We always pray likewise that we're an encouragement to you and want you to know that you're always welcome to be with us whenever you might have the opportunity. And welcome to our members, as we've thought about before. What better way could we find to start a week? That's why God commands us to meet on the first day of the week. This is how we start. We fortify ourselves for the days ahead. So thank you for being here to partake in that, share in that with us together as we worship and glorify God and encourage one another. We learn more about His Word and draw closer to Him. Thank you to the men who led in song and prayer, who served at the table. We appreciate the men who serve us in the foyer, our Bible class teachers, our deacons, all those who work behind the scenes to strengthen our congregation. We certainly appreciate all your efforts and all of your work. If you're in Luke chapter 9, I'd ask you to read with me verses 23 through 26. Let's read Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Here Jesus is teaching about sacrifice, and he uses the illustration of the cross, an event that he will experience in the not too distant future from the point at which he teaches this lesson. I'd like to think about the theme of sacrifice here this morning and what Jesus is really telling us. What does it mean to carry our cross daily, denying ourselves as Jesus taught? That's really the theme of what he's teaching here throughout this part of Luke chapter 9. Leading up to this point, Jesus taught that he would go to Jerusalem and die and rise from the dead. In Matthew's version of this account, recorded in Matthew chapter 16, of course, Peter challenges Jesus, "Say it isn't so," to which Jesus rebukes him, "Get behind me, Satan." But it's the theme of sacrifice. And he says that he will sacrifice for the world, but being a Christian and serving him and following him requires sacrifice as well. The question is, what does it mean to bear our cross? What is the reference that Jesus makes? I'd like to explore that topic with you for just a few minutes this morning by digging deeper into the passage itself. Just going verse by verse, I've taken the liberty of dividing the four verses into three distinct parts. The first verse in the passage, the middle two verses, and then the final verse. And we'll look closely at those three verses and passages of the teaching itself to gain a better appreciation of what Jesus is referring to here when he tells us to pick up our cross, to follow him daily, denying ourselves. And of course, we'll look at other references from Scripture as well, primarily from Matthew's gospel, but a few others as well along the way, just gain a better appreciation of what our Savior teaches us and what he expects of us. So in that light, let's go back to the beginning of the passage, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Let's read that verse again, Luke 9 and verse 23. Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, Jesus begins this teaching with a very important word that we've considered before. You know, the Bible is full of ifs. Generally speaking, when we read the word if, oftentimes the text that follows, if it precedes the statement, God is telling us there's something that we need to do, a choice we need to make. If you do this, then this will happen. It's that if-then proposition, positive or negative. And that's the way Jesus begins this teaching as well. If you wish to follow me, if you make that choice, be aware that it includes sacrifice. Sacrifice is built in to our service to the Lord. They go hand in hand. They are together. They are inseparable. If you choose a life of service to the Lord, you're choosing a life of sacrifice. And that's how he begins, with that realization. And he wants us to make that realization. But then he continues with a couple other key points from this very first verse. You know, we're reminded in the wording of that verse that God expects continuous sacrifice. Because there's one important word that's included in Luke's account that is absent from Matthew's account. And that word is daily. Because Jesus in Luke's account says, take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, I put both passages side by side, the one from Matthew chapter 16 and this one from Luke chapter 9. And as I typically do, I just kind of started to compare and see if there were any key differences. When I noticed the word daily was present in Luke's account, case closed. That's the one I decided to go with. Interestingly, we're going to be in Matthew's gospel to a significant degree today, but I'm using as the basis of our study and our time here together Luke's account because it includes that word daily. Because what Jesus teaches us here is that sacrifice isn't something we do sporadically or just every once in a while or when times are good. We have to be willing and able to sacrifice every day as we strive to serve the Lord. Again, he's told us that it goes together hand in hand. So by default, we would understand that if we're striving to serve the Lord every day, then in fact, we are sacrificing every day. You know, the Apostle Paul gives an interesting perspective. I would ask you to hold your place here in Luke chapter 9. And let's meet in Romans chapter 12. Let's just read the first verse of that chapter. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul gives us an interesting perspective of what it really means to sacrifice daily. That would just become part of who we are and part of our lives as a faithful Christian. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's an interesting statement that Paul makes. And a key word in that verse is the word living. We are to be a living sacrifice. Think of how significant that would have been to Paul's Jewish audience. In the city of Rome some 2,000 years ago, Jews that had converted to Christianity, they were well acquainted with what sacrifice meant under the old law. Because it meant you had to take the life of an animal. Its blood had to be sprinkled on the altar. Any Christian reading this letter at that point and ever since would know that Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life as a sacrifice to save us from our sins. But what does Paul tell us as faithful Christians under the new covenant? It's a different type of sacrifice. We are to be living sacrifices. And to clarify that definition, just go to the end of the verse. For instance, if you're looking in the New King James Version, you read that that living sacrifice is equated to our reasonable service. In other words, in serving the Lord every day, we become this living sacrifice, dedicating our lives to serving the Lord. Some versions at the end of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, equate being a living sacrifice to our worship. And I would put both of those together. That if we are worshiping and serving the Lord as we're taught, that brings with it sacrifices. And we become a living sacrifice. We've dedicated our lives to serving the Lord. You know, I've said before, and I think if you've been with us for a while, you might recall that a good way to understand what something is to sometimes consider what it's not. Let's think for just a few minutes of what Jesus is not teaching us and what Paul is not referring to. The types of sacrifices that God really has no interest in. Many of you know that I grew up in the Catholic Church. And we, being Catholics, observe the tradition of Lent. If you're not familiar with Lent, the Catholic Church practices it. Other denominations do as well. It's the 40-day time period leading up to Easter Sunday each year. Now, before I go any further, I think most of you would be familiar with this fact, but it bears repeating or reminding. There's absolutely nothing in the Bible about observing something called Lent or observing Easter Sunday any differently than any other Sunday. But that's something that the Catholic Church added years ago. And as faithful Catholics, my family observed the tradition of Lent. And during that 40-day period, which is meant to match and be reminiscent of the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness and was tempted, Catholics dedicate that time supposedly to study and prayer and reflection and sacrifice leading up to Easter Sunday. It is typical that Catholics choose something to give up during that 40-day period of Lent, a sacrifice to make. Now, let me give you an example of something that a Catholic might sacrifice or give up for Lent. I'm going to go over to this side of the stage when I make this comment because it applies to somebody pretty specifically, actually two people pretty specifically. Someone who enjoys golfing, for instance, might choose to give up golf. So during that 40 days, they don't go to the golf course. And see, Ed is having a difficult time dealing with this. Like, how could someone give up golf? And the idea would be all that time you would spend on the golf course, you would dedicate that time to study and to prayer and to reflection. There's a running joke among Catholic kids. In the Catholic religious classes, the days leading up to Lent, we would ask one another, so what do you plan to give up for Lent? And there was this whole handful of comedic responses that we would give. Well, I've thought long and hard about it, and I think this year for Lent, I'm going to give up doing homework. I'm going to give up cleaning my room. I'm going to give up eating broccoli, or whatever the case may be. So just a quick story. The other person that this relates to, most of you know that Lindsay was raised in the Catholic Church as well. So yesterday evening, we were talking. I said, hey, guess what? In the sermon tomorrow, I'm going to talk about Lent. And she said, oh, yeah, I remember Lent. I said, well, what do you remember about it? And before I could even finish the thought, she said, we always came up with these crazy things that we were going to give up, like cleaning our room and eating vegetables, without even being prompted. It's just proof that I'm not making this stuff up. She had the same memories that I did as well. There was the one kid in the Catholic education class. The nun that was teaching class was going around asking all the kids what they thought they would give up for Lent. This one kid thought it would be funny to say, I think I'm going to give up going to church for Lent. And I got a pretty big laugh until she pulled out the yardstick, started swinging it. The comedy ceased immediately. Really back to the point, those are not the kinds of sacrifices that God calls for. That's not being a living sacrifice. He doesn't expect us to almost arbitrarily choose something meaningful or enjoyable and just give it up for the sake of giving it up. To make a symbolic sacrifice, that's reminiscent of the sacrifices that he commanded under the old law. Within the new covenant, Jesus teaches us to carry our cross every day. And Paul, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, tells us to be a living sacrifice. If you are serving to the best of your ability every day, according to God's word, you can't help but make sacrifices, to make choices, to put aside those things that would distract you from your faith and your relationship with God, to serve him better. That's what it means to carry your cross daily. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. But as we're still in the first verse of the passage, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, let's think of one other important word that Jesus uses. Because he tells us when we pick up our cross that we are denying ourselves. What does it really mean to deny ourselves? It really helps us to understand the true meaning of the sacrifice that God is looking for. That means that God's expectations and the needs of others are placed above our own interests and pursuits. In a few minutes, we'll think about the fact that sacrificing every day means that we designate and act accordingly to the fact that God becomes our priority, and nothing else comes close. And if we're prioritizing God, that means we're willing to sacrifice other things that would distract us from serving him effectively every day. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. That's what it means to deny ourselves. I'd ask you to turn in Matthew's gospel to Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. You can mark your place in Luke chapter 9. We will spend a considerable amount of time in Matthew's gospel from this point forward. Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. Leading up to this point, Jesus had just appointed Matthew to be an apostle. Of course, Matthew worked as a tax collector. And that evening, Jesus shared a meal with Matthew and his friends, who were also tax collectors and sinners of various other natures. That caught the attention of the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, and they criticized Jesus. And in effect, this is what they say. How could you, saying you're the Son of God, associate with sinners? If you were truly the Son of God, you would have nothing to do with sinners. Well, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13, Jesus responds. He tells them, that's my audience. I came here to save sinners. But in his response, he makes this interesting reference to sacrifice that he quotes from the Old Testament. So Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That phrase, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, comes from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. It was an interesting statement when God communicated that through the prophet Hosea, and it's an interesting statement when Jesus quotes it as well. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Well, it's a fact that God did command sacrifice in the temple to bring the animal, to kill it, to sprinkle its blood on the altar. That was commanded. And when Jesus borrowed that phrase, he and the people that he was speaking to were still under the old law. So it's true that God desired sacrifice of that nature, but the point that he makes and that Jesus is echoing is that's not the only kind of sacrifice that God is interested in. And there's a more important kind of sacrifice. Let's think back again to the context. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And we can kind of expand on what Jesus said without changing the meaning, but just to fill in some of the gaps and understand it better. Because what Jesus is really saying is, look, to the Pharisees, I know you understand the sacrifices that you've been commanded to make at the temple. And as religious scholars and experts in the old law, I'm sure that when it's time to sacrifice at the temple, you're first in line. And you make those sacrifices. But what are you doing every other day? To show mercy to one another. To show God's love to one another. Because it's true that God commanded the sacrifices in the temple in the old law, but he also commanded the Jews to love one another, to be compassionate toward one another. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's quoting again from the Old Testament. Jesus is making the point, and he's challenging the Pharisees to understand that you're making the minimum necessary sacrifices at the temple, but are you living a sacrificial life? Because that's what they were missing. And that's the point for us. To be a living sacrifice means that every day, to the best of our ability, we strive to learn and apply God's Word. When we come together to worship, we do so the way we've been taught, the way we read about in Scripture, nothing more, nothing less. And when we do that, we have become a living sacrifice. We have designated God as our absolute priority, which leads to the next point, really in the main body of the passage. Flip back, returning to Luke chapter 9. Let's read the two middle verses, verses 24 and 25. Luke 9, continuing in verse 24 and 25. Jesus continues, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Again, Jesus speaks of the necessity of making God our absolute priority and our service to him. And if we do that, sacrifice just comes with the territory. As he began this passage, it really goes hand in hand. It's a package deal. He makes some interesting statements, particularly, I think, in verse 24. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Again, that's just a question of priorities. Is Jesus teaching us that his expectation is we literally give up our life in the pursuit of our faith? Well, if it came to the point where we had to, and we were expected to because of a situation, God would expect us to be willing to do that. But remember, Paul told us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 to be a living sacrifice. Jesus tells us to pick up our cross figuratively and carry it. Even in that figurative illustration, he doesn't say pick up your cross and be nailed to it. He tells us to carry it. He wants our lives to be dedicated to him, and that is a question of priorities. If God is truly our priority, we're willing to give up certain things in our lives that distract us from our faith and our worship and our service to the Lord. I think it's interesting to go back to Matthew's account. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, right in the middle of that passage, Jesus uses some words that might be slightly more familiar to us. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus asks two questions. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It goes back to the meaning behind the word if. We have choices to make. What are we willing to give up or sacrifice in our service to the Lord? I'd ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. Let's read verses 19 through 22. Join me at Matthew chapter 8. Let's read together verses 19 through 22. This is an interesting dialogue. Jesus evidently is speaking to a group of people who were either interested in becoming disciples and following him, or those who had already made that commitment. And so he approaches this from a couple of different perspectives. With that in mind, read along with me Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." So first he addresses a man who is interested in becoming a disciple and following him. And Jesus very honestly just tells him the cost of discipleship. Basically says, this is what you're signing up for. It's going to be a difficult life. There's going to be challenges, and it's going to require you to be willing to make sacrifices. He wants all of us to understand what it is that we're getting into, but he also wants us to understand what is to gain and what the benefit is as well. He actually addresses that in the very next verse, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes toward the conclusion of the sermon. But pay attention to what he says in verses 21 and 22. Here he is addressing someone who has already become a disciple and made that commitment. And Jesus says to him something that sounds very callous, I think. This man says, "Let me go bury my father. My father's passed away. I'm going to go to his funeral. I'm going to go honor his life." And Jesus responds very interestingly, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Again, it gets back to a question of priorities. Is he really prohibiting this man from going and doing that? Is he saying that we can't engage in things in our lives that are important like that? Not necessarily, but he's challenging the man. "You've made a commitment to follow me. You're a disciple. How important is that to you? How much of a priority am I?" Because you can only have one absolute priority. Am I that priority or am I not? It's a challenging statement that Jesus makes, and he's challenging us as well. Do we say God is our priority or do we act upon it? Do we just say he's our priority, or do we live by those words and by his word? Because he's either a priority or not. But it gets back to that question. If he is our priority, what are we willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice every day carrying that cross? Just think about a few quick examples. Are we willing to sacrifice our time? It takes time to worship and serve the Lord. In case you haven't noticed, as you sit here together on a Sunday morning, it's an investment of time and energy and focus to worship, to study, to do the things that God's taught us to do. It all takes time. And quite honestly, that's time that we can allocate to other things that we're interested in this life, our other pursuits. If God is our priority, wouldn't we understand how important it is to invest that time and are we willing to make that sacrifice? Here's another question. Are we willing to sacrifice our opinions and our desires? Let's think about how we worship and how we don't attempt to worship. As members of the Lord's church, we simply strive to worship the way we've been taught in Scripture, putting our own potential desires and opinions aside. And that becomes such a stark reminder when we think about the fact that as we speak, there are so many people gathering in other places attempting to worship in a way that God hasn't taught, in a way that's not in keeping with Scripture. Why? Because they value their own desires and opinions more than God's Word. They're not willing to sacrifice their own opinions and desires to simply worship and serve the way that God has taught. Are we willing to always make that sacrifice and respect the authority of His Word and not our own opinions or the opinions of so many people around us who would be more than happy to share with us their opinions? Finally, and this one can be difficult, are we willing, if necessary, to sacrifice relationships? To separate ourselves from those toxic type of relationships of people that just drag us down or drag us into sin or present temptation to us so often that it's just hard to escape from. Are we willing to sacrifice those relationships that draw us away from our faithful service to the Lord, even if it's a family member? Because the most important relationship we have is that we have with the Lord. And if any other relationship starts to conflict with that, are we willing to step away from it, to push it aside, so it doesn't corrupt us, and it's not a negative influence on us, and we can focus on our true priority, which is worshiping and serving the true and living God. And friends, the list goes on and on and on. We can keep asking that question. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up? And as we come to the conclusion of the passage here in Luke chapter 9, let's read together verse 26. Because Jesus, in his conclusion, reminds us of what's at stake. And friends, he tells us that the stakes are incredibly high. Are you willing to sacrifice for the Lord or not? Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, as Jesus comes to the conclusion, he says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." I think we should let that statement sink in, because Jesus is telling us it's important that we truly consider what's at stake. Imagine standing before our Savior who died on the cross for your sins on the day of judgment, and he looks upon you and he utters those words that we just read, "I am ashamed of you." Based on the theme of what he's teaching, where does that shame come from? If we're not willing to sacrifice for him, if we only say he's our priority but we're not acting accordingly, Jesus, our judge and Savior, says, it's like you're saying you're ashamed of me. And don't you think I'm going to reciprocate that? If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you on the day of judgment. How can you be with the Heavenly Father and myself in heaven forever if you weren't willing to do my will in this life and make sacrifices for me? And that's truly what's at stake. Let's think of the fact of what was done for us, because we should consider what's at stake compared to what he's asking. Think of the sacrifice that was made for us. God the Father sent his only begotten Son here to be nailed to a cross for you and for me. And Jesus was willing to go through that agonizing death for you and for me. And God has promised us an eternity in heaven despite our sin and all our weaknesses and flaws. Think of that compared to what he's asking us to do. Everything that God gives us to do in Scripture is achievable. It's manageable. It's not this monumental task that we can't accomplish, especially when we think of what's at stake. The last passage of Scripture we'll read together comes from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says as much. He says that the load that he expects us to carry is negligible compared to what he was willing to do for us. The cross he carried was much heavier, and he ended up being nailed to it. He just expects us to abide by his word and strive to do that every day. So with that in mind, read with me Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It really does lead to the conclusion of the lesson. We kind of bring everything together. I was talking with Wendy the other day, and I've shared this with you before. Oftentimes when I'm putting a sermon together, I'll bounce some ideas off of Wendy and Sarah at home just as audience members, to get some feedback, to make sure that the things I'm saying are done so in a way that's clear and concise as possible, and the examples I'm using are relevant. By the way, you owe them a significant debt of gratitude, because they've probably saved you from some rambling sermons that might not have made much sense, and some examples which may have caused you to say, "I wonder where he's going with this," because they have a way to keep me on track. Wendy brought up an excellent point, and I want to share that with you and make it the conclusion of the lesson, because it really dawned on me. I had this aha moment when she gave me this feedback, that this is really what it means to be a living sacrifice. She said, "You know, I understand the examples of the sacrifices we have to be willing to make, sacrificing our time, coming together to worship and doing so the way that he has taught us, being willing to give up relationships. That one may be a little more difficult." But she said, "I think most of our brethren would understand that, but might have a similar response. You know, none of that really sounds like much of a sacrifice at all." And isn't that the point? Isn't that what it means to be a living sacrifice? It's kind of a paradox. If we love the Lord and we have his word embedded in our heart and we're striving every day to serve him as best we can, we're actually making sacrifices without really even knowing we're making sacrifices at all. It just becomes part of who we are. And I think that means that each and every one of us could be separated into two different categories. You may feel like you're not quite there yet. And that means you're in the first of those two categories. Honestly, it may still seem like somewhat of a sacrifice to carve out time to come and worship, or to find time to study God's Word, or to do the things in your life that God expects you to do. The list goes on and on. And you know what? If that describes you, then that's okay. It just means you got work to do. And if anybody from the other category that I'll get to in a minute, which could be described as someone who really has just embodied God's Word and just doesn't really feel like it's a sacrifice anymore, remember where you started, because it's likely you were in that other group at one point or another. If you feel like it's still a sacrifice to do those things that God wants you to do, keep studying, keep learning, keep serving. Set that as a goal. If you keep doing that, you're going to get to the point where it really just becomes part of who you are. And it doesn't seem like you're sacrificing anymore. What about the other group? If you've been a Christian a while, you're confident in what you're doing and your knowledge of God's Word, and doing the things that God wants you to do just doesn't seem like much of a sacrifice, here's a challenge. Go find another way to sacrifice. Find another opportunity to serve. Study more. Pray more. Pray more deeply. Serve one another more effectively in a more meaningful way. Serve your congregation, or go out and study with someone and bring them here so they can become a Christian. You know, no matter what group you're in, we all have one thing in common, and that's the fact that God expects us all to grow and learn and strengthen our faith, no matter where we are on that journey of faith towards salvation. We have opportunity every day to serve the Lord and make those meaningful sacrifices, carrying our cross, denying ourselves, making God our absolute priority. Let's remember that God expects us to make Him our priority. Let's never forget that we are God's priority. He sent His Son here to die on the cross, and He gave us His Word. If we remember that and sacrifice for our faith, we'll grow stronger and more prepared for the day of judgment, so that we can be in heaven for an eternity with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior. And that's God's plan for you. It's His plan for me. And He has charted a path that we can travel to get there. You know, as an invitation, if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to make that commitment. As I've said before, every journey begins with a first step. And Scripture tells us those first steps are to confess Christ as your Savior once you hear God's Word and believe and have your sins washed away in baptism. That's an opportunity. That's a choice you can make. And yes, there will be sacrifice along the way, but you're not alone, because God will guide you, and your brothers and sisters in Christ will be right there beside you as well, dealing with those challenges and making those sacrifices as well. So if that pertains to you, you have an invitation. And if you are a Christian and you're not sacrificing as you should, if you're lacking in focus and commitment, if you're giving in to temptation and there's help you need from your brethren, we are here for one another. So that's a standing invitation as well. So if that applies to anyone, won't you take advantage of the opportunity to come forward as we stand and sing together the invitation song?